Greetings, dear friends, and the sage's worthy name. On an American troop ship, the soldiers were crowded around their chaplain. Naturally, they were anxious. "Do you believe in hell?" one of them asked. "I do not," he said. "Well, then, will you please resign? For if there is no hell, we do not need you. And if there is a hell, we do not wish to be led astray." I'd like to share with you the following. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music, and song. No friendship of joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten the long, weary night. No love, nor peace, nor one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, pardon, nor grace. No water. Oh, God, what a terrible place. The pangs of the lost no human can tell. Not one moment's ease, there is no rest in hell. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone are there, we know, for God in his word hath told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering and pain, weeping and wailing, but all in vain. Blasphemer, swearer, hater of God, Christ rejecter while here on earth trod, murderer, gambler, drunkard, and liar, will have his part in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel and mean, what a horrible mob in hell will be seen. Yes, more than humans on earth can tell are the torments and woes of eternal hell. Thank God, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God tells me I will not be there. What about you, friend? Will you be there? I'd like to read from Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I'd like to back up and read one verse prior to these verses. And it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Friend, I'd like to ask you, where are you going to spend eternity? For some few broadcasts now, we have been talking about the judgments of God. We read from the book of Hebrews, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And yet we have found by asking several questions concerning the various judgments that are described in the Bible, that there are a number of judgments, not a general resurrection and a general judgment, but a number of judgments that take place according to the word of God. By way of quick review, the first judgment that we considered was the judgment of the Son of God at Calvary's cross. This judgment proves that God is not only a God of justice, but God is law. The ones who were affected at this particular judgment were the Christians, those who would ultimately become Christians because of the judgment that took place in their behalf in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second question about this particular judgment, where did it happen? Just outside the city walls of Jerusalem, at the place called Golgotha, or Calvary. When? It took place A.D. 33, almost 2,000 years ago. What were the results of this judgment? Well, it was death for the Lord Jesus Christ, but praise God, it means life for whosoever will trust and believe upon the Lord Jesus. From 2 Corinthians, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. As to this judgment, we talked about the judgment of sin in the believer. This takes place whenever a sinner, Christian, is involved in sin. It takes place anywhere and any time. And those who are affected are Christians, those who have been saved by the grace of God. That's the reason unsaved people seem to get by with so much more than those of us who love the Lord Jesus. A Christian gets into trouble, into sin, God disciplines him. The results are chastisement by the Lord. Whom he loves, he chastens. But the unsaved, they seem to go on and get by with so many ungodly practices. But rest assured, beloved, their day is coming. The third judgment that we looked at was the judgment seat of Christ. This is judgment in the life of the believer when he stands before God. Not during the lifetime of the believer, but we read that this will take place following his return. It'll take place in the air, and it'll only take place in the lives of Christians, or for what affected the life of the child of God. In other words, it will be for the Christian after his death or after the return of Christ for his church, reward or loss. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. 2 Corinthians says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians, that every man's work shall be tried by fire. So we who are Christians, at that time in the future, after the rapture of the church, after the resurrection of the just, will stand before God, and he will deal out, mete out to us, the rewards for faithful service. The scripture points out that some will be saved, no reward, yet so as by fire they will stand before God. Well, it does say every man will have his reward, but the rewards will be based upon his service, his faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. We ask the question when we consider this, what on earth, or we should say, what in heaven could God give to the Christian above and beyond eternal life, salvation, redemption, a home in heaven with God for all eternity? Well, I don't know. Perhaps it's some of the crowns that we read about in the Word of God. The martyr's crown, the crown for faithfulness, and so on. But whatever it is, you can rest assured our God has reserved for those who serve him faithfully rewards. Now, keep in mind, salvation is free. Salvation is a gift. Salvation cannot be earned. The Lord Jesus paid for it. But praise God, once we are saved, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. But we must press on. There is the judgment of the nations that we read about in Matthew chapter 25. The question who? It's the nations of the world. And this judgment is based upon their dealings with God's chosen earthly people, Israel. It'll take place on earth. It'll take place at the glorious appearing of Christ following the great tribulation, when he comes back with his church. He previously came back for them at the rapture, but at this time he's coming back with his church, and the judgment of the nations shall take place. Again, you can read about it in Matthew 25, and that we're reviewing today. The result will be that some will be saved and others will be lost. Well, there are other judgments that we would like to talk about. There's the judgment of the great tribulation that will take place after Christ returns for his church. It'll take place on the earth. It'll take place the time following the rapture. And there will be judgment for the masses. But the scripture goes on to tell us that there will be a remnant that will be saved. Again, you can read of this in Matthew's gospel, this time chapter 24, where we read there shall be great tribulation. 2 Thessalonians tells us that they will be sent strong delusion. Those who have heard and rejected the word of God will receive a strong delusion, lest they should believe and be saved. Friend of mine, don't wait. Don't take a chance. Don't think you can procrastinate receiving Christ and be saved during that time of great tribulation. You who have heard the gospel, you who have rejected Christ, my, in what peril you'll be. And I am convinced, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, no hope once the Lord Jesus has returned for those who have openly refused and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the time that's left, we want to consider the great white throne judgment that we just read about in Revelation chapter 20. Who are those that will stand there? Well, it will be those who were lost, those who have died in their sin during all the ages. Where will this judgment take place? In outer space. Because it says there's no place for them as they stand there before God, before the great white throne judgment. When? It's a day determined by God following the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus. What are the results? We read about it just a moment ago in Revelation 20. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Today, the whosoever will is for those that would hear the gospel. The good news, how that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. The good news of whosoever will come to Christ. But in that day, the whosoever for those who have rejected him, condemned, doomed, damned, lost in that awful fiery pit of hell for all eternity. I'd like to point out, because there is much confusion between the living nation's judgment and the great white throne judgment, some differences that the Bible records concerning these two judgments. First of all, at the judgment of the living nations, there is no resurrection. But at the great white throne judgment, there is a resurrection. We read about it earlier in Revelation 20. Then there are the differences between those who are judged. First of all, simply this, living nations are judged in the judgment that carries that name. Whereas at the great white throne judgment, it's the dead of all ages raised for judgment. The living nations' judgment takes place upon earth, while in the great white throne judgment we read heaven and earth have fled away. We read of no books being opened at the judgment of the nations, but the books are opened, as we read a moment ago, concerning the great white throne judgment. At the living nations there are three classes, the sheep, the goats, and those called brethren. We read of only one class at the great white throne. They are simply the dead. The living nation takes place, judgment takes place when Christ appears. But the great white throne judgment we read of takes place after he has reigned for 1,000 years. So you see, it's awfully dangerous when we do not rightly divide the word of truth, when we do not take the differences and the distinctions that point out such things as the various judgments that are going to take place, and of course some who have taken place previously. Now, in the few moments that are left, we'd like to consider why this judgment of the great white throne is called great. This word great is, and I use this with reservation, greatly abused. Every commercial product today is the greatest. Every politician is the greatest. Even every advertised comedian is the greatest. I've even seen some preachers being billed as the greatest. But this scene in Revelation 20 really does qualify to be great, because it is the great white throne. One of the reasons it is so great is because of those who will be there. It's the dead, small and great. The sea gave up the dead which are in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them. If for no other reason, it will be great, friend of mine, because of the mass of humanity that will stand before God. A few years back, I was in India, and on one of their great days of celebration, they had a tremendous parade in Delhi, India. Between 6 and 7 million people turned out for that parade, and I was right in the midst of all that mass of human flesh. Friend of mine, can you imagine what it's going to be like when the lost of all ages, when the ungodly stand before God and hear those dreadful words, "Depart from me," and they're cast into the lake of fire? Friend, you need not be among them. Today, come to Christ, receive him, experience salvation by being born again. He'll give you eternal life. You'll never be at the great white throne. May the Lord bless you to do so today. Amen.